flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We're less than 60 days away from opening day. Pitchers and catchers will be reporting in just a few weeks. I know I saw the Orioles posted that video of the truck starting to head down to Florida. They had a press conference today, officially announcing Adam Jones, the special advisor to the GM. And let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where Andy Koska joins us. He covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. And Andy, thank you as always for joining us. We appreciate your time. Let's start with the Adam Jones of it all. What do you make of his role? How involved do you think Adam will be?
Hey guys, well, first off, thanks for having me. For Adam Jones, it's an interesting position. I think, you know, I truly don't believe he'll be, you know, vital in the you know, personnel decisions and things of that nature. I think he is you know, going to be more valuable when it comes to, you know, being in the clubhouse every once in a while, talking to players in the minor leagues, you know, kind of, you know, telling guys about his own experience playing. We'll see exactly if it helps at all attract Japanese players. That he kind of played up that angle in the press conference today. He played 2 seasons before he retired in Japan. Seems to have loved it. But at the same time, it's an East Coast club, so it's not maybe the expected landing spot for some of the large Japanese stars. Who are, you know, going to be posted at some point, and have already been posted in the previous years. So it's a, you know, as Mike Elias said, it's a way to bridge the gap between the last couple teams, Orioles teams that were really consistently competing in the AL East, to this current crop. And he feels like Adam Jones is no better. There's no better player than Adam Jones to be that representative for that group.
Well, Andy, pitchers and catchers report, that's rapidly approaching in a couple weeks at Sarasota. Looking at this offseason as a whole, and there's still time, even though February is this weekend, but looking at this offseason as a whole, has it met your expectations of what you thought would transpire thus far? Have they done enough?
I will be able to give you a better answer in October.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this team is capable of winning 90 games, you know, with the group they have. I don't think they needed to make many upgrades to do that. They have starting pitching depth, even if they don't have the ace like Corbin Burns like they had last season. They have a better bullpen, I believe, this year with you know, adding Andrew Kittredge and having Felix Bautista back, as long as Bautista is healthy and pitching as well as we know he can. The bullpen looks great. And you imagine that you know, some of these players will only get better or find some semblance of consistency. You know, Adley Rutschman had a difficult second half, to say the least. That's not like him. He probably is going to find more rhythm. Players like Heston Kerstad, Kobe Mayo, Jackson Holliday, you expect, you know, in the, you know, as they get more major league time, they're going to improve. So I do think this team is a playoff team. They are built for that. The real question, and I think really the only one that will matter for this team going forward, is can they do it in the postseason? Because they haven't so far, obviously. Do they need an ace to do it in the postseason? Well, they had one last year, and the offense did not support a phenomenal Corbin Burns outing. So it's really kind of a crapshoot, maybe a little bit in October. To answer your actual question, I think maybe it would have been a little bit more promising had Baltimore added a, you know, ace kind of guy, or at least a top of rotation arm. But I'm not willing to, as of yet, put the final note on this offseason. If you remember, on February 1st, they traded for Corbin Burns. So this is it's not done yet. Mike Elias likes to kind of wait and see how the market develops, and for, you know, for the trade market especially, as teams get closer to spring training, they're going to be more willing to do a deal. They will feel more pressure to get a deal done because they don't necessarily want to go into spring and then rip apart a clubhouse before the season even begins. So they want to make that deal before players report. We'll see if something happens. Definitely a possibility, you know, be it, you know, Castillo in from Seattle or Dylan Cease from San Diego, just to name, you know, two. But, you know, there are options out there, and I wouldn't put it past the O's to make some late noise.
Based on the roster construction as we know it right now, what's available to them right now, and so like 90, 93, 94 wins would and pushing the Yankees for the division, I think, right, would probably be the high end of the swath of potential outcomes we would look at. What about what would be the low end for you? 80 to 83 and fighting for the final wild card spot?
I'd be pretty shocked if this team was not multiple games over 500, just because of the depth this lineup has. I like the AAA depth. Think about signing Dylan Carlson. You know, I know fans, you know, can gloss over signings such as those, but that is what helps the team win 90 games. Is to let's you know, just to focus on Carlson for 1 second. It's, you know, it's a guy that has hit against left-handed pitching well in his career, can play all three outfield spots. He has options. Mm-hmm. Most likely will start the season in AAA. At some point, Tyler O'Neill has a history of landing on the injured list.
Yes.
He feels he can avoid it, but the history shows that he has not played more than 113 games in 3 or 4 years. So you expect that, hey, at some point they're going to need to call up Dylan Carlson to hit against left-handed pitching, because it's a left-handed heavy outfield in terms of batting. Mm-hmm. So they need somebody to hit, you know, from the right side of the plate. I think that's a phenomenal addition. Low risk, probably not high reward, but you can win a couple games, you know, sneaking through when you have a major acquisition injured like O'Neill. And obviously I'm talking about someone who's not even injured yet. He hasn't played a game.
Well, but it's kind of baked in the cake.
You hope that doesn't even happen, but it's moves like that I think they've done a good job to make sure that the floor is relatively high here. And so I'd be shocked if they were a 500 team fighting for that last wild card spot. I think they're more realistically going to be maybe 5-6 games above 500, pushing, you know, into the 90 plus win territory. But I mean, last year I was way off. You know, I think I was on your show maybe, and I predicted, I forget whose show I was on, but I predicted, I think, 92 wins or something like that, and I forget what they ended up with. But you know, it's impossible to know here in January. But I think that the ceiling is maybe not as high as you felt it was last year with the Corbin Burns type. But I also think the floor is really, it's pretty high, because I like the depth they have at pitching. and you feel like the lineup can improve compared to some of the slumps they went through last year.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking with Andy Koskitz, Inside Access here on the Fan. Let's go to the lineup. And this lineup, for the most part, was in a team-wide funk the second half of the season. They did not hit unless they hit home runs. With all that being said, and I know there are some guys with some pedigree and some potential here, but were you surprised they didn't go and get a more legit everyday bat? Tyler O'Neill had a fine year with the Red Sox, but he's a guy, as you pointed out, gets hurt. Also, he's much better hitting lefties more than righties. So, like, were you surprised they didn't go and get a legit everyday bat? And is the lineup as good as it was a year ago with Santander gone?
You know, it's a tough question, and I'm going to dance around it in a way that Mike Elias would be proud with some of the wordplay here. But I think the lineup is maybe as good, potentially a little bit worse. But you got rid of a guy in Santander who had 44 homers. But part of the home run dependency of this team was because of Santander. I mean, he was a phenomenal player, incredibly important in that clubhouse. Had a lot of RBIs, 102 RBIs. But you're also talking about a guy that, you know, his on-base percentage was .308. You know, so he was pretty boom or bust. You're substituting that, and you expect Couser to replicate what he did, if not, you know, do a tiny bit better. You expect Mullins to replicate what he did, which wasn't great, but was strong defense. And you expect O'Neill to absolutely crush left-handed pitching and do good enough against righties and have been Kerstad in the mix. And I really think Kerstad could be a valuable piece. He's not a traditional fourth outfielder, but you have flexibility because Couser, O'Neill, Mateo, they can all play center field if you need to rotate Mullins. I think in that aspect, just looking at the outfield, I feel pretty good about the outfield, even without Santander. You're losing some home runs, but I think you're adding, you know, of course, Heston has a lot of power, but think about this 2-week stretch he had when he got up in June. So, but mid June to July, before he was hit in the head by Clay Holmes fastball, and his season kind of was off track because of the concussion. He hit in 14 games. He had a 1,141 OPS, just unbelievable. And he only had, you know, OPS that high. He only had 3 home runs. You know, so it wasn't like every single ball was just leaving the yard. He was finding gaps, a lot of singles, a lot of hits overall, RBIs up the yin yang. You know, that was a really, really promising 2-week stretch. And anybody in baseball can have a good two-week stretch. We've seen it a million times. But you feel like guys like that will take the next step. And I feel like Baltimore is very bullish about their farm system, how these guys can transition to the major leagues. I don't think Jackson Holliday is going to struggle the way he did last year. I think he's going to arrive and look more like the player he was at the very end of the year. If you remember his last week, and again, these are tiny sample sizes I'm talking about. So it's not, you know, I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe there will be, you know, a slump. Maybe the lineup isn't as good. And we'll be talking in October about how they needed to sign that big piece. They needed to re-sign Anthony Santander, whoever it is. But I think Baltimore believes in its player development system, and they're going to put trust into Jackson Holliday, Ezra Kirsten, Kobe Mayo, Jordan Westberg, all those young guys taking those next steps. Honestly, Gunnar Henderson's kind of, you know exactly what he's going to do, even though he's 23. You put trust in all those guys to become even more productive than they were last year. And for a lot of them, they weren't productive at all. I mean, Mayo and Jackson Holliday were really unproductive. You know, they seemed lost at the plate, but I don't think they'll be lost for very long. So that's a long way of saying you could be absolutely right. They should have gone out and got they probably could have done that. They could have absolutely done that. But I think I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt in that they have a lot of really good prospects, and, you know, obviously some of them have graduated prospect status on the list, but young players overall who I feel can take that next step. And so we'll see if it all comes together. This is the fun part, though. We get to speculate, and, you know, we'll talk later in the season and see if they were correct that these players did take the next step. And if they didn't, then there's bigger questions on, you know, why does the best farm system in baseball not translate to the major leagues? That's the next big question if they don't.
And as guys graduate, they're no longer the best farm system in baseball.
Correct.
Hey,
is letting guys three-peat AAA really in anybody's best interest?
Andy, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. Baseball will be here before we know it, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Andy Koska covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. Hey, coming up next.
I mean, I love Norfolk as much as the next guy.
Yeah, you like it more.
I don't think you need three summers there.
Yeah, no. Good beaches, right? It's okay.
I wouldn't say that.
Hey, coming up next, I'll tell you what was great. The debut of Bonework yesterday, and we will pay off our Bonework poll. What movie will Bone have to watch? Because he don't know any movies. That's next here on The Fan.